Is there anything in this world that you can be sure of? Well, of course, you've probably heard that saying. You can be sure of two things, death and taxes. But is there something else of which you can be sure? Yes, there is. There is God's sure word of prophecy. And listen to how Peter says it. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. This is how he expressed it. You do well to take heed to the sure word of prophecy. Prophecy is like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns. In other words, prophecy is like a light that, as each one is fulfilled, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. The picture of what God is doing becomes clearer and clearer, all the way until the day dawns. In other words, all the way until there is complete light, or until there is complete understanding. And know this before we start talking about prophecy. No prophecy of the Scripture is of private interpretation. You cannot interpret it. I cannot interpret it. Only God can interpret it. In other words, the Scriptures that God has had written down in the Bible, these Scriptures interpret themselves, and we absolutely have to go by the Scriptures to allow them to interpret themselves. Prophecy never has come by the will of man. It never will come by the will of man. It comes only through the people of God when they speak as they are moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Again, that's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. So today I want to talk about four more prophecies that have been fulfilled. God said it, and God did it. And these are prophecies, again, about our Messiah's first coming. And this first one talks about how he was spit on and smitten. And of course, these were in the last hours, right before he was crucified. So we'll read about that in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. This is Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. And as I read this, you tell me if you think you could have gone through something like this on behalf of one of your loved ones. I'll read it starting in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 50. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. And the fulfillment of this is in Matthew 26, verses 67 through 68. This is Matthew 26, verses 67 through 68. Then they spit in his face and pushed him around, and others slapped him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ! Who is the one that smote you? Would you be able to stand there and take that? Just think about it. Jesus, the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the one who was with God, who was God, who was made flesh, the one who had the power to slap these people and push them around, instead did not do that. He took it. Why? Because of his love for you and I. He knew that he would have to go through this, and yet he accepted it. He did not hide his face from shame and spitting. He allowed his face to be spit upon. He allowed himself to be slapped in the face because of his love for you and for me. And now the second prophecy is in Psalm 69, verse 21. This is Psalm 69, verse 21. And this is the prophecy that he would be given vinegar and gall. And gall is a poisonous plant. When mixed with vinegar, the result is a very nasty drink. But more importantly, it is symbolic of punishment heaped upon a person who is rebellious against God. And you're going to notice that Jesus refused this gall, and he refused it because even though he suffered for our sins, he never sinned, so he was not rebellious against God. And that's why he refused this gall. So let's read the fulfillment of it in Matthew chapter 27, verse 34. Or first, I guess I should read it actually in Psalm 69, verse 21. It says, They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Again, that was the prophecy in Psalm chapter 69, verse 21. And now the fulfillment of it is in Matthew 27, verse 34. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And now the third prophecy is that he was scorned and mocked. This is in Psalm chapter 22, verses 7 through 8. He was scorned and mocked. That's in Psalm chapter 22, verses 7 through 8. Here it reads, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. He trusted on the Lord, that the Lord would deliver him. Let the Lord deliver him, seeing he delights in the Lord." And now the fulfillment of that is in Luke chapter 23, verses 35 through 39. This is in Luke chapter 23, verses 35 through 39. And this is when Jesus was already on the cross. And it says here, "And the people," speaking of the Jews, "stood by looking at him, hanging on the cross. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers," in this case representing the Gentiles, "also mocked him." So first we had the Jews standing by and mocking him along with the rulers, and then we also have the Gentile soldiers standing by mocking him. So all people are guilty, whether it's Jew or Gentile, everybody is guilty. You and me, all of us are guilty of causing the death of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And it says, "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew." And this was meant to be a mockery of Jesus, but it turned out to be the truth. "This is the king of the Jews." And even one of the criminals which hanged near Christ railed on him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Now, wouldn't you be tempted to do that, knowing that you had the power? And yet Jesus, not even tempted in the least bit, remained on the cross because he knew that he had a mission to fulfill. And out of love, he stuck it through, despite all of the mockery that he suffered, all of the scorn that he suffered, all of the pain and hurt that he suffered. He stuck it through because he knew that he had to die on our behalf. He knew that by his stripes we would be healed. He knew that by his death and resurrection, thankfully, that all human beings could have salvation and all people could be given the gift of eternal life. Oh, what love God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ our Lord has for us. Please, I hope you will never take for granted all that Christ did for us, all that he went through out of love for us. Please accept his love. Please accept his precious gifts of salvation. And now we have the fourth prophecy, that he was pierced through his hands and feet and side. That can be found in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the house of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And then also in Psalm chapter 22, verse 16, it says, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." So together, these two prophecies where it talks about, "They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and also they have pierced my hands and my feet." These two prophecies together, where he is pierced through the hands and the feet and the side, was fulfilled in John chapter 19, verses 31 through 37. This is John chapter 19, verses 31 through 37. And of course, this would have been when Christ was nailed to the cross through his hands and through his feet, and how painful that must have been. It's hard for me to even imagine it. And also, of course, when the Roman soldier came by, seeing that Jesus Christ was already dead, I believe, in a fit of rage and in frustration, just poked Jesus in the side with a spear and stabbed him. And let's read about that again in John chapter 19, verses 31 through 37. It says, "The Jews, because it was the preparation day for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that is. They were preparing for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was the Passover. Jesus Christ was actually crucified on Passover Day, the same day in which the lambs for over 1,400 years, almost 1,500 years, had been slain on that same day, once per year, on the day of Passover. Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, was also slain. So this was the day, the preparation day for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it says that the Jews, because it was the preparation day for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away, so that the bodies would not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. And this particular Sabbath day was a high day. Again, it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread that was to come up. It was not, and I say this, and we'll get into this in a later program, this was not a weekly Sabbath. Jesus Christ was not crucified on a Friday. Jesus Christ was crucified on a Wednesday. But again, that's a subject for a different time. But this particular Sabbath day would have been on a Thursday, and it's called a high day. This would have been the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Jesus Christ was taken down from the cross before the Sabbath day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, came in. Then came the Roman soldiers and broke the legs of the two which were crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they didn't break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and out came blood and water. Now why would he do that? Why would he do that to our Messiah? Why would he stab him with a spear? What sense did that make? He was already dead. This is why it happened. It says here, this fulfilled the scripture that said, they shall look on him whom they pierced. In other words, God ordained that that had to happen, and so it happened. God said it, and God did it, and Jesus Christ took it for you and for me. And now further, in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, we read, Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. And this is when Jesus was resurrected. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So, after 8 days, Jesus' disciples, including Thomas this time, were gathered again. Then entered Jesus, even though the doors were shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be to you. Then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger into the holes of my hands and side, and from now on, stop being faithless, but instead believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet still do believe.